And Mr. Pio would step up.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chair members. Dan Villa, Montana Board of Investments, here to do our annual investment report to you. Brevity is the soul of wit, so I'll be quick and leave a lot of time for questions should you have them. I'll start on our strategic asset allocation, the single most important component of the board's actions on an annual basis. This is the driver of returns primarily. We didn't make a change to the asset allocation for the upcoming calendar year. Given the 8.5% returns last year, we think we're very well situated to proceed. Obviously, turbulent times. The Fed has never navigated a soft return or a soft landing. We'll see if this time is different. The market is predicting, was predicting prior to the Federal Reserve comments yesterday, four rate cuts next year. Fed sort of tipped their hand that there'd be three. Positives and negatives of that. If you're in your world, your 5.4% stiff returns will probably come down. But given that we try to minimize your stiff exposure and have public market exposure, particularly we're heavily domestic equity centered, that could be a good thing. So I'm not going to give you a book on predictions because I guarantee you they'll be wrong. But we think we are very well situated to take advantage of the market conditions, particularly in private credit. Part of our private investments portfolio is private credit, and you're seeing the banks pull back. Not quite certain what the economy will look like, getting a little nervous about the risks out there. So they're running to private credit firms. That has been very lucrative over the last several months for us. If you go to the next slide, you'll see past performance. Again, Empera 8.5, most of the way across. Volunteer firefighters, we do have that. There's those sort of nuances of when contributions come in, and based on when those contributions come in, it can have an impact on performance. So we only get that money once a year. We aren't able to dollar average in over 12 months every calendar year. We only get the one lump sum and then we buy. So you'll see some performance changes based on what type of contributions we get. But for the most part, 8.5 across the board, very happy with that. Obviously, this year has been a bit of a struggle. We're sitting about 2% for the fiscal year as of this morning. Thank God for the Santa Claus rally. Go buy a lot of presents for grandkids and kids, if you'd be so kind. We could use the help. Next slide is an older version, but this is the slide you typically get from Chair Peterson, just showing you where the assets are by pool, pension, trust fund, state fund, STIP. All I thing I always like to point out is Montana is a bit unique in that all of our investments take place at the board. A lot of your peers will have investments over here, and then the treasurer's office will have a separate investment arm, and your workers' compensation fund will have another investment arm, and you lose your economies of scale. So we can go in and buy assets and get access to markets with $27 billion worth of assets, whereas other states only go in with, a $1 billion workers' compensation fund. A lot of private equity managers, particularly those that we're invested in, won't even look at you if your check size is less than 20 to 50 million, which our scale allows us to get in. So we hit that sweet spot between being able to be nimble and move money quickly, and being large enough that we can get into some of the larger managers. Our goals and strategies on the next page, obviously maximize returns, minimize losses. The legislature keeps adding goals to us. We then have reduced taxes, increased jobs, and as of this session, make housing more affordable. So, we'll do a little bit of everything. Two slides forward, five-year policy return. So we are the most audited agency in state government. We get an annual legislative audit, both compliance and financial. We then bring in several auditors on our own. It's great. They never leave. It's super fun having 33 staff and 40 people in the office all the time. But, the coffee fund is always well funded. One of those audits is CEM benchmarking, and that is where we bring in a firm to look at our investments and see what are we paying for those investments and are we getting the return we should be as compared to both our peers in the market. So you can see on the next page, five-year policy return of 10.9% is what the board achieved. We did beat the U.S. public median of 10.7% and our peer median at 10.8%. These are just pension funds, so this does not take into account trust fund or STIP. So very pleased with the outcome of that. On the next slide, you'll see the key takeaways. I draw your attention down to the cost and cost effectiveness portion. We are slightly more expensive than our peers, and that last bullet hits it. We are 3.9% or 3.9 basis points above the benchmark cost, but that is because of our manager selection. God bless capitalism. If you're very good at something, you get to charge a premium. So for that extra 4 basis points, we deliver 263 basis points in above benchmark performance. So we try to find the best managers. We have a very deep due diligence process. It probably takes us a year to underwrite a firm. And then once we're in, we try to stay with them throughout multiple funds or even multiple strategies. Neuberger Berman, for instance, we have them for non-core fixed income. We now hired them as a co-investment manager for us on the private equity side. So again, maximizing our returns through minimizing our costs, focusing in on a smaller, I guess I'd say a rifle shot of managers as opposed to a scatter shot. Final slide, you can see our fees. This is for fiscal 23, 26.4. We had investment costs of 71 million, investment fee ratio of 27 bips. We have been trending down. I do not include in this our dividends. So we've implemented a dividend program. If we have excess funds at the end of the fiscal year in our operating budget, we'll pay them out as dividends back to the participants. So last year, we did about a 20% operating dividend to the participants of $1.5 million of our $7 million budget. The more I can keep those costs down, get them back up to you all, the better I'm doing. So with that, happy to take any questions from the board.
Does anybody have any questions? Any board members have any questions for Mr. Vito?
I do.
Mr. Galt, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just curious on that very first page when you talk about assets, you list real estate and real assets.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what that is. Real buildings or REITs or what?
So real estate is real buildings and REITs. So it's the long hold real estate assets of the portfolio. The real assets would be your timber, your oil, your rail cars, sort of the more commodity-based type of products. So we're an investor in ITE Rail. They are the largest lessor of rail cars in the U.S. We move a lot of oil. That's in that portfolio. We've got some oil managers in the real assets portfolio. On the real estate side, it's primarily domestic. We don't like the legal world outside of the U.S. as far as being able to get in and recover assets should there be a time of stress. So we like the adjudication of the U.S. We're heavily invested here, trying to diversify more. We were ahead of, but not enough ahead of, commercial real estate downturn over the last several years. We've been moving more into grocery anchored retail, which everybody's got to eat. That's been a great place to be. We're now starting to set up separate accounts. So one of the ways that we want to reduce costs over time, and it fits well with a permanent fund like a pension fund or the state of Montana's trust funds, is I won't call it the old model, but I'll call it the existing model. We hire a manager, we go buy some assets, improve their value, sell them, get our cash back. What we're looking at now is basically perpetual holds, separate accounts. So we'll go in and we'll buy, and for instance, the Silver Bow separate account, we own some land outside the Port of Los Angeles. We're going to hold it. We've hired a manager. We'll lease it in perpetuity. That is just nice, sweet benefit payments that come in rent checks every month. And we won't have that transactional cost of every 15 years having to go out and underwrite a new system. So, and yes, I did pick Silver Bow to be first. There are privileges that come with this job.
Yeah. Outside Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Missed the rail car prop too.
That was best Christmas present I've ever gotten.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? I do have a few questions. You know, it said as far as your asset allocation, it said how was that determined?
That is the most thorough process we have at the board. So we typically start in about July. All of the investment directors, the chief investment officer, and myself look at the portfolio, look at the capital market assumptions, not only for our joint consultant, RVK, but also the Horizons, which is 39 large market participants. So you'll get JPM, you'll get Chase, you'll get the big money centered banks, as well as the big investment firms. And we look at what do they think that these asset classes will do over the coming years. And we go through an exercise where everybody develops what they see as the best outcome in the out years, as far as do we take a little from fixed income and move it to private equity, a little bit off of non-core fixed income, move it into domestic equity. And then we run a mean variance optimization. RVK runs mean variance optimization. What are the scenarios that we're looking at? And you know, does it make a meaningful difference either on the efficient frontier where we're maximizing costs, getting the biggest bang for our buck from a return perspective with the lowest cost inputs? What are we getting for that? So after we do that, we then meet with RVK. It's a full day of spreadsheets and game theory and scenario analysis, and me taking walks because you get bored after so many hours of that. And then the chief investment officer makes a recommendation to the board. We do it over a two-cycle meeting. So we sort of adopted the legislative model of you have a second reading and then a third reading. It used to be we'd make a recommendation on a $20 billion portfolio to the board and then just say, and we need a vote in 15 minutes. And that, at least in my eyes, was not an optimal outcome. So we present it in October, give everybody a couple of months to digest it, and then the board votes on it in December.
How much discretion do you have as far as, you know, individually or staff in order to make alterations or changes? You know, it said where I'm getting at on this thing is that in extremely volatile situations, how quickly can you react on this thing and shift from something of away from long-term to short-term assets, you know, for example?
So we try not to be tactical. We are a perpetual fund. We will be feeding my children pension benefits long into the future. So when you have these major market disruptions, we don't really, you know, get in and do the active buying and selling of NVIDIA, or that's not really what we're built to do. What we do is identify, okay, we think the U.S. domestic capital markets will be more efficient than the international capital markets. So we're going to move money from international to domestic. We hire the managers to go do that, and they do so within bounds. So every one of our asset classes has a range that we operate in. And then over the last several years, we've introduced macro attribution. So every board meeting, the board members see of the range of 15 to 18% of the portfolio being in one asset class, we're currently at 15.5. And the midpoint of that would be 16. So the board will see why are we underweight that particular asset class? And then we can make a determination jointly, okay, is this something we need to take action on? Typically, we don't take action in the short term when we start to get underweight. 99% of the time, that's a denominator effect. Capital markets sell off, domestic equity and international equity shrink, and then your private equity portfolio looks like it's a bigger proportion of your asset class. In those illiquid asset classes, you can't move quickly. When we make a $50 million commit, that's a 15-year $50 million commit. So the only really liquid places you can move is in STIP, cash, core fixed income, which STIP is a part of, domestic equities and international equities. When we start to get high is when we do take action. So if you see, like, we've had a good run in domestic equities, we've been taking some money off the table using that run to fund benefits. So we'll sell off some domestic equity so we don't get overexposed, put that into the STIP portfolio, and then you all use that to pay the benefits with. So when we have long way of answering your questions about how we rebalance and look at the portfolio in totality, but major market disruptions that we think are temporary, we weather them. Rates, longer term intrinsic things, will take action either in the illiquids portfolio by finding data centers for real estate as opposed to commercial real estate. But that again is a multi-year process.
The board act on the setting of the allocations? Is it a set time during the year? Or?
Yep, it's always the last meeting of the year, so that we're ready to go for the new calendar. It's one of those weird, the state fiscal year is June, but our asset allocation is January, and then we deal with the state fund, their fiscal year is January. So the asset allocation is always good starting January 1.
Okay. What are you hearing as far as the future is concerned, now that it seems as though the Fed has probably stopped on its increasing rates? Are you starting to move into longer-term assets, from short-term?
So we are long and STIP right now. We're probably the longest duration we've been in a while. We went in and bought some 6% assets early on, so that'll take a while to trail off, keep that STIP rate high. They're going to start trending off. The bond pool is in a good spot. Well, it's this weird thing where rates go up, yield goes up, but your performance goes down. So we look like hell on the bond pool, but in 2 years, we're going to look fantastic. And trying to explain that to everybody, of the short-term bonds have rolled off, we bought the longer-term bonds 2-3 years and look great. But for right now, everybody looks at the percentages and says, oh my God, you lost 2% in the bond pool. How can you lose money on bonds right now? Well, welcome to performance calculations and things I don't like to do. We are going to continue to, the pension fund is in great shape. This is the first time since 2008 that all of the funds have been actuarially sound. We've got money. We're not bleeding corpus. So we're going to continue to move toward those illiquid assets. I think you'll see real estate, real assets, and private equity continue to become a larger portion of the portfolio in the out years. Domestic equity, the conversation in the marketplace is, when does international equity from a PE perspective is a lot cheaper than US domestic equity. But there's just so much stuff going on out there. Is it worth the risk? Never mind the fact that the U.S. is such an enormous part of the global economy. If I buy an Exxon stock, I'm buying a worldwide stock. If we buy a Starbucks stock, we're buying a worldwide stock. Same with Tesla and all of the things that are listed here. You get international exposure. So I don't think you'll see much more as a percentage in that international equity pool. Probably try to stay more domestic equity centered. Core fixed income, it's a good time to be there. We're making money on cash. So we are trying to save a little bit, be a little more liquid right now so that we can deploy into those illiquids. The private equity firms are moving a lot of money right now. We had about $150 million in capital calls this month alone. We had one fund call down all of it. They called every penny that was supposed to dribble out over 6 to 8 months. They're seeing opportunities. So good thing we have the cash and the fixed income portfolio to draw from.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, Mr. Carey.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Villa. Earlier on, you said you moved bits and pieces, minute portions. Could you enlighten me what a minute portion is, percentage wise or dollar wise?
So it's the rarefied air of the Board of Investments. To us, minute is about 25 million to 50 million. That's like a daily rebalance. My fixed income officer always tells me she's not getting out of bed for less than 60 million. So it's in the from the state of Montana perspective, big numbers. You know, the stiff portfolio, school funding days, pension benefit days, we'll need $250 million in liquidity in any given day.
Thank you.
You bet.
That's puts it in respect.
Mm-hmm. I guess, Mr. Chairman, without no other question, I'd just like to thank you and your staff for being such fantastic partners. We're always the first ones through the gate on the legislative audit because everyone else is based off of our audits. Your staff is extremely helpful. We always like to share information, and if someone likes to get ahead of themselves, we pass that down the line to let folks be ready for what's coming. But there isn't a committee meeting that Dory, Bill, and even Sean with the teachers' retirement system and I don't coordinate, and very thankful for their service and your keeping them around to be good partners.
Thank you for doing a great job on our behalf.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? Thank you. We'll see you again.
Thanks. See you here. Hopefully with better news.
Thanks, Director.
Thank you, Dan.
See you again.